Our article today is entitled Weeds versus Wheat. And it does have a text that it's taken from Hosea chapter 10 and verse 4. They make promises, swearing falsely in making covenants. Therefore, judgment springs up like poisonous weeds in the furrows of the field. There has been an ageless war from the sin of Adam and Eve to this day of weeds warring against wheat. So who will win that war? Well, to help us better understand that, we need to talk about some of the characteristics of these two kinds or species. Wheat have to be planted, and it's at the cost of the planter. Wheat have to be kept from droughts. Wheat needs cultivation, ground preparation, looking after from different pests that will plague it, and then there are just natural conditions that will destroy or harm the wheat. And of course, it has to be harvested, and that would be at the cost of the owner again of the field. And it also takes a great deal of sacrifice, time, cost, energy to make sure that that wheat can be harvested. And it's going to require wages for those that would help to harvest that wheat. Jesus himself used the idea of wheat and weeds in one of his parables. And he tells his followers who were listening, but while the people slept, his enemy came and sold darnel weeds. Now, in brackets, it states, darnel is a weed grass, probably a bearded darnel or a lolum. Then it also has another word there, obviously Latin, which is spelt. I'm not going to try to slaughter it here for you. It's T-E-M-U-L-E-N-T-U-M. And those two look very much alike until the wheat become mature. Then the differences become quite apparent, and you can then harvest the wheat and separate the weed from it. On the other hand, weeds, we know no one plants them. They just seem to be there. And they always encroach. They take over naturally. They steal the ground from the owner, whatever he puts in that ground. And it takes real physical effort to remove them. Weeds can invite other pests to come in the field. They sometimes are full of stickers. And above all, the main point we want to get here, they're a never-ending plague for the planter, for the owner of the field, to keep them out. Moreover, we don't save seeds of weeds to be replanted, and we certainly don't admire them as being something precious, something we want to brag about, how we have this wonderful weed patch. Rather, there's something to be ashamed of. And really, the only thing that the owner of the property is concerned about is to destroy them the best that he can. Jesus also used the idea of takers and thieves at John, the 10th chapter, and verse 10. And there he states, the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus, being a wheat, says, I came, the first fruit of the wheat, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. Beautiful thought. So we have the distinction between light and darkness. Weeds are takers and thieves. Wheat are precious because they feed nations and produce products that sustain human life. Nations have perished for lack of wheat, and nations have become world powers for abundance of wheat. So without the trillions of dollars that the nations spend each year, and I'll put it in the trillion dollar range, all the nations, the world might come to an end by the weeds. If they are not taken out and the ground is not cultivated, it wouldn't be hard to believe that the world populations could starve to death and cease to exist. So, with that in mind, I'm going to read just a little bit from an article out of California, just in one state, the effort they have to do to try to remove weeds. I'm not going to go very far because it's going to get real boring and my reading's not that great. From 2016 to 2018, I believe it covers. And the statements are, increasing weed control costs threaten vegetable crops, growers, and profitability. Due to labor shortages, increased cost per hour of labor, as well as a small and decreasing number of registered herbicides. A grower has some control of the weed seed bank, but little control of herbicide availability. In efficacy or labor shortages, farmers, however, can contain labor costs by reducing the amount of hand weeding needed by using an intelligent inter-row cultivator. Traditionally, the inter-row mechanical cultivator has limited reach because it does not remove weeds within the seed line during the early growth period when competition for nutrients, water, light is critical. Thus, the inter-row hand weeding is necessary to remove weeds left by the traditional cultivator. In the face of these challenges, automated weed control systems can help to manage weed control costs by making an inter-row cultivation feasible. In other words, you get the point. There's a great deal of science and effort that is being expended to find a better way to control weeds so it does not cost the crops which we have to live on. And that article, which is quite a bit longer, if you choose to read it, you can go online and or you can just read that quote that I put in this article off of Jehovah's Witnesses Straight Talk. The author of that article is Hannah Joy Kennedy. So let's bear in mind, we touched on this somewhat, weeds and wheat are a kind, two different kinds. That is, they are species. But let us remember, and this is important for Christians, they don't change one into another, not unless science can manipulate the DNA within the wheat and use some of the stronger characters out of the weed so you can grow wheat in areas where it's drought stricken or there's not enough water. And they have done that. It doesn't produce as good as quality as wheat, but it has been done. And then you have an additional problem after that if they'll reproduce the next year or if it has to be done again. But for this discussion, when we think in terms of the creation, in terms of a species, where the species does what it is created to do, We get rid of the us and them mentality. And we can view the facts with an open mind. Do weeds have a purpose? That is a question for science. But for those of us that are working and they're using to try to feed the world with all the crops, weeds are an enemy, a constant plight. They have to be dealt with every day. They certainly have to be dealt with during preparation time and the planting season. So let's see if we can go to the scriptures and find out where this problem began. And we go back into the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to your wife's voice and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns, also thistles, will it bring forth, and you will eat the herb of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and the dust you shall return. Jesus Christ, whom the world was created through, the Bible tells us that, in the book of Proverbs, while on earth spoke of the seeds given to mankind for food, and he also spoke of those planted by the hand of his heavenly Father as wheat. Christ went further. He spoke of weeds planted by the enemy of himself and his Father. So Jesus Christ defined the truth of light and darkness. He did it in a very profound parable. He also defined for his listeners that they were species. They were life and death species, takers and giver, evil and good, bringing it down to just two types of seeds. The very same thing that his Father Yahweh did in the Garden of Eden when holding court on the rebellion of Satan and Adam and Eve, where there God prophesied that he'd only have two seeds. There'd only be two seeds. One of his planting and the other of Satan, the devil's planting. There in Genesis, same chapter, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Yahweh God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above every animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. So the question remains, how does this contest end? Or is it a contest at all? Does God really know his planting before the founding of the world? And why did the enemy, Satan the devil, use weeds as false Christians who weren't of God's planting? What was it that the devil wanted to hide from the human race? In the book of Romans, it tells us, the 8th chapter, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. whom he predestined, those he also called. Who he called, those he also justified. Whom he justified, those he also glorified. What then shall we say among these things, about these things? If God is for us, well, who can be against us? The next subheading is entitled, The Enemy Within. And Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, tells us what that enemy is. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? Yahweh searches the mind. I try the heart, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. It takes a great deal of effort to remove weeds from our garden, from a field. It's exhausting work. And it has to be dealt with, or the weed has to be dealt with while the wheat shoots up. The wheat may be destroyed with the weeds. So I'm going to do this again. What I'm trying to say here is that as that field shoots up newly planted, the weeds have to be dealt with, but not at the beginning. Because you pull them out, you also destroy the wheat. But the real subterfuge is deceiving the world or humankind into believing that weeds are wheat. And wheat are weeds. Satan masterminded this evil, the same evil he used on Adam and Eve. And how does he steal what is God's without instant retaliation from God? Matthew 13 and verse 29. But he said, no, lest perhaps while you gather up the darnel weeds, you root up the wheat with them. In verse 30 of the same chapter, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, first gather up the darnel weeds and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So Satan attacked God's virtue, his values. God is a God of love. Did he create humans with the ability to love him back, to worship him from their own love? What if they chose to serve themselves? What would God do? What if they freely chose to serve Satan, the devil, who was a rebellious spirit son who had formerly been, well, I guess he still is an angel, a spirit son, an angel that had fallen. Proverbs 26:26 says his malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Did God have a plan to do just that? Well, the history that has taken place, weeds and wheat, we know one thing for sure, that weeds grow much faster than wheat. False worshipers grow much faster than true worshipers of God Yahweh. So the earth became full of weeds, choking out the light from God. So God brought it to an end during Noah's time with a worldwide flood, or none of the wheat would have survived. Matthew 7 and verse 14, it states, narrow is the gate, and restricted is the way that leads to life. Few those who will find it. Psalms 9 and verse 5. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted their names forever. Blotted out their names forever and ever. Still, weeds flourish time and time again unless the great God of the heavens intervenes into mankind's affair to protect his true worshipers from the complete destruction by false worshipers of Satan the devil. Clear into the book of Revelation, the last book before the apocalypse, Armageddon, we see this vision showing we still have the problems with weed and wheat. Revelation 7 and verse 1 through 3. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth, or on the sea, or on the trees. I saw another angel ascending from the sunrise, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Don't harm the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their forehead." Our next subheading is the God of Light defines truth by character. When we speak of false and true worshipers of God, the line becomes light and darkness. It is clear and it's crisp. But defining light and darkness by darkness, well, it produces gray shadows that are ever changing according to the desires of mankind's own heart, which is treacherous. So James chapter 1 and verse 13 states this, so that we're not misled. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I'm tempted by God." For God can't be tempted by evil. And he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it becomes conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Always talking in the terms of fruit becoming mature. Have you noticed that? Don't be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation nor turning of the shadow. So now we'll speak of character to define these two species. Wheat don't steal. Wheat don't encroach upon others people's property or upon the weeds area. They don't change themselves into some deceptive form of a Christian to trick people to believe that it is God's planning. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And that's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. So again, let us be reminded here that weeds are a species. That means they don't magically change into wheat. Wheat do not change into weeds. In other words, just because weeds use up the same soil, use the same nutrients, steal from the wheat, does not make them into wheat. But as many as received him, To them he gave the right to become God's children, to those who believed in his name. Now here's the key for the wheat, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God's will. That's taken from 1 John chapter 1, 12, and verse 13. We are told of the wheat in comparison to the weeds. Psalms chapter 1 through verse 6. Blessed is a man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in Yahweh's law. On his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the streams of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaves also does not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked shall perish. So, it is a species that matters, not the label we humans put upon them, nor how much of God's word you feed the species. Wheat or weeds, that will not change the outcome of what the species are. The entire parable of Christ Jesus is about deception and theft by an enemy of God, Satan the devil. So the plot that the enemy devised was designed to mislead who? The world, in which Satan the devil is the ruler of. Weeds and wheat do not change. So deception is one within our own hearts. 1 John 5, verse 19, the Apostle John states, under Holy Spirit, we know that we are from God, and the whole world is lying in the power of the evil one. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, even if our good news is veiled, it is veiled in those who perish, in whom the god of the system, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good news of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should not dawn on them. So what does happen when a thief steals something that's not his own? Well, they gain possession over it illegally. They claim ownership of it and will fight to keep it. They will use every form of deception to make what is stolen look legally theirs. Subsequently, when organizations like religions, when it has many members, the members become emboldened when that kind of a theft happens. Why? Because of the powerful positions of their leaders, the claims they make, as if they're speaking for God, as if God gave them these high positions. So they legitimize the theft by these powerful positions, and of course they keep that locked in with their biblical doctrines that make individuals believe they have a right, that a theft is now legal. So the weeds have a drug ring, and that's the next subheading. Revelations, the 18th chapter and verse 3, speaks of that. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her sexual immorality. The kings of the earth commit sexual immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from the abundance of her luxury. The drug of the weeds can be summed up in this truth. It is to have as much of this world as they can by their heart's desire, making it legitimate by putting the name Jesus Christ upon it. Weeds are clearly part of this world. They use every form of it. They use every form of it in their governments, in business or commerce, and in their religion for growth, for survival, to enforce their rules, to punish those that don't keep it. And that is the reason if you use all the things of the world, just like other organizations flourish, government and commerce, you're going to grow much, much faster than the wheat, who are no part of this world and must struggle every day just to survive. Revelations chapter 18 and verse 7 says, however much she glorified herself and grew wanton, so much give her the torment in her morning. For she was in her heart, for she says in her heart, I said a queen, and I am no widow, and I will in no way see mourning. John chapter 17 and verse 14, Jesus speaking about his disciples before he's put to death. I have given them your word. The world hates them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Yes, there is a clear pattern from the beginning of our world where Adam and Eve sinned until its very end. Weeds are not going away without a fight. They are species and they don't believe they are weeds, nor do they think they are doing anything wrong by growing naturally in the field of the wheat. Why? Because they are not God's planting. They were not planted by God's hand. They were planted clearly by the enemy, the devil, who is the ruler of this world. And so he blesses them with lots of fertilizer or corruption to feed his own weeds, his own false Christians. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3, we appeal gently when evil things are said about us. We are treated like the world's garbage, like everyone's trash, right up to the present moment. That's the Apostle Paul speaking, the wheat. Galatians 4 and verse 25, for Hagar is Mount Zion and Araba, and answers to the Jerusalem that exists now, for she is in bondage with her children. The physical Jerusalem on earth is in bondage to the flesh. Back then and today. Galatians 4 and verse 26, but the Jerusalem that is above, she's free from the flesh, is free, which is a mother of all of us, all the wheat. She is a mother of the wheat. Weeds believe they have converted most of the world into Christianity, but the fruit of the world are just the same as the fruit of Christianity in the world today. Weed, on the other hand, are no part of this world. They don't survive by fleshly spirit. of this world. They are cultivated by the Spirit and truth of the living God, the Almighty, through His Son, Jesus Christ. This truth is made very clear, very evident throughout most of the Greek writings after the Holy Spirit was poured out. You would have to be blind to miss that point. We'll start with Romans 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, the same chapter. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, because the mind of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it is not subjected to God's law, and neither indeed can it be. Seems complicated, but it's not at all. You cannot have a sinner be subjected to the perfect law of God. There has to be sacrifice and atonement. Can never be, no matter how much it wants to be, can never be in complete submission to that law like Jesus Christ did, who fulfilled it. Romans 8 and verse 8, those who are in the flesh, they cannot please God. Now, we may not like hearing that. If we are in our flesh, we cannot please God. Romans 9 and verse 8, that is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as a seed. Not many. John 14 and verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, cannot receive it. The whole world is misled. No matter how much truth you think the world has, it cannot receive the truth that God says we have to have. For it doesn't see Him, it neither knows Him. You know Him, for He lives within you. And you will be in you. James 14 and verse 26, but the Counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus speaking, He will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. John 15 and verse 26, when the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, Comforter has come, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me. We have no authority from God to define who the wheat are, or to even know the wheat. They see all things, just like the world, a world that's an enemy, a world that is based on war and fights with one another, can only be conquered by other flesh through violent warfare, by powerful governments approved to destroy the wheat as they did Christ Jesus. They use politics, money, rule of law, the same constant campaign and justification that the world uses to claim rulership over the nations, making it legitimate by religious justification in the use of God's name and or Christ Jesus' name. False religion is a sponge which absorbs the waters of this world and labels those death-dealing stolen waters as holy and righteous by stealing Christ's name as a label, puts that on those actions by logos, slick advertisement for money, where the world leaves off, religion begins. It is a wide and spacious world that leads off into destruction. James, just like Christ, clearly defines the difference between what is truth, real fruit, bad fruit, light, and darkness. It comes down to character. There's a character that God creates. There's a character that the devil creates in his followers. James, the third chapter, verses 11 through 16. Does a spring send out from the same opening fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, yield olives or a vine figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. So the question is, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that his deeds are done in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and don't lie against the truth. The wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is rather earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition are, there is confusion and every evil deed. No matter what name you put upon it, no matter how much we can justify it, you can't change species. You can't change a fig tree into another species. You cannot take a beautiful fresh well and then all of a sudden start spewing forth bitter water. But somehow that's possible in the name of Christianity. In the book of Isaiah, prefigured Christ and his people. Isaiah 35 and verse 8 reminds us, a highway will be there, a road, and it will be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go there. And once again, Jesus reminds us very clearly, narrow is the gate. Restricted is the way that leads to life. Few are those who find it. Satan has tremendous power to create false worshipers. He rewards them with powers, with prestige and blessings, and some with very long lives. He gives them powerful works, so even doubters must tremble. He makes Christianity into a charm life. Yes, he has made false religion a very powerful force in this world that the governments of our earth must carefully deal with in the decisions of statehood. Satan blesses his own with physical things that can be seen by other flesh to mislead the fleshly mind of weak Christians into deeper darkness of materialism. Using the blessing of physical Israel and its laws that formed a nation by acts of fleshly warfare by its members. It's a very important part to remember. Satan has used the old law that Christ Jesus fulfilled, brought it back, mixed it into the new, but still, the Christians that are formed from that in name only, weed Christians, they form and they use that power of that law to wage war. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 7, and I would say that's physical warfare I meant to tell you, for we walk by faith, not by sight. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, charge those who are rich in this present world that not to be haughty, nor have their hopes set on uncertainty of riches, but on the living God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Because, speaking of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 17, Christ speaking, because you say I'm rich and have gotten riches and had needed nothing, I don't know you, that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus reminds us at Matthew 21 through 23, not everyone saying to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many, not few, many will tell me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons? And in your name do many mighty works? Then Jesus says, then I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Revelations shows it is the outcome of this by false religion. Revelation 7 and verse 5, and on her foreheads a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. And the Apostle Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the throwing down of strongholds. The leaders of weed religions are powerful as world leaders are. Their roots and their boughs spread deep and wide over the entire world, like a great tree that is shadowing humanity from cradle to grave. They're now, well, I got to get that right for you, from cradle to grave, their influence is felt. Mark 10:24, the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Mark 10, verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. We Christians learn the ways of war, like the world. They are a part of it, but the weak Christians learn the ways of peace, like the heavenly kingdom. They are planted in and where they will go home to. That's going to end part one of this discussion. Part two will start on the subheading of the kingdom cut from God's mountain without human hands. And that is that you'll find in the book of Daniel, the second chapter. We're going to end it here. We're at about 50 minutes. And I think the next section, which would be number two of this article, Wheat versus Weeds, can be completed in about the same amount of time. So I appreciate you listening, and I hope it's interesting. And may our Lord Jesus Christ and His Father Yahweh bless you today. And may you continue to grow in spirit and truth in both their names, for they alone and only them are worthy of the glory for opening hearts and minds and giving the Holy Spirit to those that have been redeemed in Christ Jesus. Amen.